This year, the nation is marking the 400th anniversary of the Jamestown settlement. And while the celebrations will honor Virginia's Indian tribes, in fact, not a single one of them is officially recognized by the federal government. Six tribes are trying to change that through a bill in Congress. We recently visited the Monacan Indian Nation in rural Amherst County and learned the story of how the state almost erased a people. The Monacans live near Bear Mountain in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. A small stream called Muddy Creek runs through the rocky, rolling hillside where the tribe has established a small museum and cultural center. Diane John Shields is the Monacan Nation's genealogist.
A Monacan is an American Indian that's been here for thousands of years, right in the same location, living in Virginia. Were first recognized by John Smith on the map, the Pocahontas map, everybody calls it, but it's the Jamestown settlement map.
About 700 people of Monacan ancestry live around Bear Mountain, but you won't find any who speak the Monacan language or who have grown up steeped in Indian tradition. Diane Shields says that's because for much of the last century, the state of Virginia stripped the Monacans of their Indian identity. She points to a 1924 racial integrity law intended to protect the purity of the white race. The law was zealously enforced by a physician named Walter Plecker, a white supremacist who ran Virginia's Bureau of Vital Statistics from 1912 to 1946. Shields says the racial integrity law didn't leave room for Native Americans.
There were two races created, white and colored. If you weren't white, you were black or Negro. And our people were not that.
What was the impact of that?
Oh, God. That's paper genocide is what that did to our people. What he set himself up to do was erase a whole race of people, our people.
Diane Shields has spent a lot of time trying to correct official records, like birth certificates and marriage licenses, where Monacans were classified as Negro or mulatto. The faulty documents have made it hard for the Virginia tribes to compile the evidence they need to gain federal recognition. One requirement is that a tribe prove its continuous existence since 1900. Shields carries a large satchel stuffed with historical papers.
You have quite a stack of folders here.
I do that.
She reads from a 1943 letter that Walter Plecker sent to the Amherst County Registrar regarding the racial status of a Monacan child.
Simply classify this boy as colored. The mulattoes are trying to pass as Indians, but we are now refusing to receive any certificates with that classification. Neither our office nor anyone else is authorized to change the race from that assigned to former generations of the Branhams or other Negroes. He did change all the races. He absolutely did.
Dr. Plecker wanted for the future of Virginia a lily white future.
Gregory Michael Dorr is a historian of race and science in the American South at MIT.
And while he felt he had easy control over most African Americans, he saw Native Americans as the greatest threat because while they might be able legally to claim status equivalent to whites, he believed that biologically they were essentially black, that they had been tainted with quote-unquote black blood. So in his mind, Indians represented a so-called racial poison to the white race. That is to say, any intermarriage between whites and Native Americans would degrade the white race. And ultimately, he based that on the belief that really went back to Thomas Jefferson's time that there were no more Indians in Virginia who were not already interbred with African Americans. Therefore, if a white interbred with an Indian, it would be as if a white were interbreeding with an African American. And in Plecker's eyes, that was one of a biological catastrophe.
In Amherst County, Plecker singled out certain last names associated with the Monacan people. The Branhams, the Johns, the Adcocks, the Clarks, the Woods, the Sorrels. And if your name was on the list he sent to local registrars, that meant you could not legally marry a white person, be buried in the community cemetery, or attend public schools.
When that bell rings, we'd better be in here, too. There's somebody be coming looking for us.
78-year-old Lacey Branham recalls her days in this one-room log cabin schoolhouse. She attended classes here through the fifth grade before leaving to work in the orchards. It was a school just for the Indians, but Lacey Branham wasn't aware of that.
No, I didn't know nothing about that. No, I sure didn't. I didn't know nothing about that we was Indians or nothing. Really, I sort of thought like we was like everybody else, you know. This was our school, and, you know.
That school was known as the Mission School, named for the Episcopal Mission that was established on Bear Mountain in 1907 to minister to the Indians here. It became the core of their isolated community, even as their Indian heritage was slipping away. Today, the schoolhouse and chapel are part of the Monacans Cultural Center. Lacey Branham's son, Kenneth, is the tribe's chief. Her daughter, Sue Branham Elliott, is the museum curator. They are working to reconnect to their Indian roots.
Sue, we had that certificate of...
With the family, you wouldn't necessarily know they were Native American. In fact, they say, people at times assume they're white. When I met with them, Chief Branham wore a jacket bearing the three-arrow symbol of the tribe, something his mother never learned about.
I wanted to talk with you, Mrs. Branham, about when you first started to understand that you were Monacan Indian. You said that in your school days, that was not something that you were even aware of.
No, really. My mother and my grandmother, they never, you know, talked to us about nothing like it. I guess it was hurt so bad, you know, they didn't want to talk about it. So I didn't know too much about it until my son, they start to digging back and out for find our roots, you know. And then I found out that, you know, they say we were Monacans.
You know, my grandmother told me one time when asked how come not a lot of the Indian stuff was passed on, and she told me with tears in eyes that if the wrong person heard her talking or teaching us those ways, that we might not have a place, she might not have a place to live the next day. Most of our people were very poor, sharecroppers, later on working in the apple orchards, and, you know, it was hard on them, and they recognized the Monacan Indians by the last name. We could blend in with most groups, and you wouldn't be able to say, okay, there's the Indian, there's the Indian. But it was the last name, Walter Plecker's hit list.
According to the Branham family, Walter Plecker's legacy lingered long after he left office in the 1940s, and its most glaring reminder is the derogatory term used for people whose names appeared on his so-called hit list, issue or free issue, a notion that stems from the interbreeding of animals. Monacan Chief Ken Branham.
Well, to me, it means less than dirt.
His sister Sue remembers someone calling her issue in the second grade.
And I went home and I told Mama that some girl had called me that at school. And I said, well, Mama, what does it mean? And at first she says, just go on, go on. And I said, no, what does it mean? Because as a kid, you just keep on. And she said, well, just don't worry about it. She said, they're just ignorant. And I said, well, Mom, what does it mean? You know, and just kept pushing it. And Mom would say to us, you know, well, they say we're Indian, but don't tell nobody.
And it wasn't just name-calling by school children. After court-ordered integration forced the county to let the Indians attend public school, the local newspaper printed the names of the, quote, issues from the mission so that white parents could identify the Indian children.
And so when they got there, you know, we already were tagged or marked before we even went into the public school system.
For the Branham children, entering public school was a defining moment. It was then that they discovered that the four siblings from the same two parents all had different races listed on their birth certificates.
Sue, you said when you all started public school that you, on your birth certificate, were classified as Negro.
Yes.
What did that mean to you?
At first, I was ashamed of it, and you know, I didn't want to, you know, say anything to anybody. And then once we had gotten the okay to change our birth certificates to what it should be, I asked if I had to send it back. And I have a copy of it, and it's just, you know, they can send us, and I shouldn't feel negative about this, they could send me a copy that says that I'm Indian today, and which they have already. But it doesn't, deep down inside, I worry that in Richmond, it still says Negro. You know, you can, like, the whole thing that Plecker did with changing races makes me, you know, deep down wonder, well, will this come back again at a later date and haunt my children?
Why do you think it might haunt your children?
I can only tell a story with my son. My son does not look Indian at all. Matter of fact, he has reddish blonde hair and green eyes. And he was dating a girl here in Amherst in high school. And they'd been dating for some time, and she had invited him to go come to her house to meet her parents. And he went, and they were all sitting around the table, and he says, Mom, he says, you know, they were saying, well, your mom went to Amherst, and I said, yeah. And the mother says, well, what was your mom's maiden name? Maybe I knew her. And he said, I said, well, her name was Carolyn Branham. And he said, Mama, he said, everybody at that table, you could have just seen their face. And he said, and nobody said anything for a long time. And he said, and we ate. And he said, then I left. Well, that next Monday when they went to school, the little girl came up to him and she says, Rufus, I'm sorry. You know, I can't see you anymore. My mom says, your mom was a Branham. She's one of those issues from up there in Amherst. And this is in 98?
Today, her son Rufus wears full Indian regalia to perform native dances at the Monacans' annual powwow. His mother hopes he'll be chief one day. That's something that would have been incomprehensible to her mother, Lacey, who would change her last name to Brown or Johnson just to get into dances when she was a teen. Chief Kenneth Branham says he's glad the family doesn't hide its identity anymore. But at first, he was concerned about how his mother and older generations would view his effort to gain recognition for the Monacan Nation.
When we started this, because of the racism and the hurt that her generation and my grandmother went through, I did go to my grandmother. And I asked her, how does she feel about us digging up the past and trying to get state recognition at the time, and she told me with tears in the eyes, I'm very proud of what you're doing. And once she told me that, I knew I was doing the right thing. There was no turning back. You know, I couldn't have stopped after that if I wanted to. And she lived long enough to see six of our powwows.
A bill in Congress would give the Monacans and five other Virginia tribes federal recognition, but the legislation faces an uphill battle because of concerns it could open the door to Indian casinos in the state. Chief Branham says he's not interested in gambling, but would like the resources that tribal status would bring. Our story was produced by Tina Tennyson and recorded by Neil Tivault. To learn more about the Monacan Nation, visit our website, npr.org. That's All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Debbie Elliott.